Welcome to a burning fire. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. A prominent characteristic of our day is change. Of course, change has occurred in every age, but who can doubt that there have been so many and tremendous and rapid changes in recent years far beyond what most could have imagined? Change is noticeable in almost every area of life, whether you consider transportation or agriculture, in medicine, even the methods of waging war, entertainment, whatever you think about. We're living in the middle of an immeasurable technological revolution of changes. They are rapid and radical and extensive, making what is new today to be obsolete tomorrow. And many of these changes have meant genuine progress. They've meant improvements. They've certainly been beneficial to mankind. And especially is this true in the realm of health and the standards of living and the ability to do things. It is a shame that more have not benefited from the changes in these areas. But it is also true that sometimes people have provoked change simply for the sake of change without due regard to the detriment of mankind. There is no virtue in making changes that take us backward from what is useful and good. This so-called art of tearing down without offering something better is definitely not commendable. We ought not oppose change just for the sake of retaining the status quo any more than we ought to promote change just for the sake of changing. What presently exists is not always the most desirable, but we certainly ought to turn to something better before making changes. Furthermore, all changes are neither beneficial nor permissible before God. There have been changes invading areas where there ought not be change. There have been many changes that are nothing less than open rebellion against God and His will. Religions are changing, but the religion of God has not changed. Who has not taken note of the changes in the denominational world in matters of doctrine, in attitude toward Christ in the Bible, in moral standards, even questions about the reality of God and the challenges to the deity of Christ? Such has been seen and heard in times past, but often so loudly and rapidly in our present day. There have been changes in the role of women and families and ethics and matters that affect the way people live one toward the other. Romanism used to boast how it had not changed. But there are few systems of religion that have undergone more changes in its history than Romanism. Especially is this true in recent decades. In fact, religious people of all kinds have attempted to change what is proper regarding marriage and divorce. They have sought to remove the stigma of divorce. The sanctity of the home has been attacked. Premarital and extramarital sexual relationships have become so commonplace that many think this is what ought to be. Even the dignity of human life has been viciously attacked by our own so-called nation under God, with over 20 million abortions over the past few years. When even the religions are founded on the ever-shifting sands of human doctrines and opinions, swaying with the trends of unrighteousness and following the authorities of men, one cannot look with confidence toward religion generally for any true guidance in life, let alone guidance toward heaven. It has been one of the most depressing facts of my lifetime as a preacher of the gospel to see many changes, even in churches of Christ, as more and more have opted to imitate the ways of the world rather than remain loyal to the truth of the Bible. The weak, compromising nothingness that is characteristic of so many, even and especially in the pulpits and places of leadership, has been a heart-rending reality that faithful Christians simply cannot ignore. But friend, the will of God through Christ does not and has not changed with the currents and tides of human departures from the truth. The truth does not now or ever accommodate man's rebellion and sinfulness. That which man might make and discover, he might improve and change. But there is no way that any man or group of men can improve nor has the right to change the counsel of God. Jude 3 teaches that we are to contend for the faith once delivered. Psalm 19, verse 7 teaches the law of the Lord is perfect. Now, how can that be improved? In Romans 11, verse 34, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Does any person really think he can advise God and make alterations and improvements on what God has said and done? James 1:25 tells us of the perfect law of liberty. Isaiah 55:9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Man never shows himself more foolish than to challenge the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. Therefore, friend, people ought not tamper with that which the Almighty has delivered. In fact, God specifically forbids him to do so. And man ought not try to change God's word, but rather appreciate the value of a changeless Bible. The value of a changeless Bible is made evident in the prevalence of sin. There are three words used in Scripture to describe man's spiritual offense against God: sin, transgression, and iniquity. Sin, of course, means to miss the mark, Romans 3 and verse 23. Transgression is to step across the boundary, 1 John 3 and verse 4. Iniquity is to deviate from the standard, Isaiah 59:2. To speak of such things is to speak of a certain reality. Some will attempt to cast a cloak about sin to bring it into respectability and remove the stain and the stigma of it. We hear people sometimes contend, sin is only as you think it is. Some call sin a mere disease, the result of some fault of society. Others define it as simply an antisocial behavior. Skeptics call sin a throwback from the dark ages of religious superstition. Every kind of explanation anyone can imagine is called upon to remove man from responsibility to God. Is it not strange how evident the results of sin are everywhere? And yet some attempt to deny its reality. Friend, sin is as real as the day when Satan deceived Eve in the Garden of Eden, and we are wise if we believe that. The Bible deals with the problem of sin. It is not a book devoted to science and economics and history or other such themes, but it does stress the reality of sin, the wages of sin, man's individual and personal guilt of sin, God's concern for man in sin, God's provision for the remedy of sin through Christ, as well as what man must do to be saved from the wages of sin. It also gives us direction and guidance how to avoid and prevent sin and its consequences. Nothing anywhere else confronts sin as does the message of God. And since sin has not changed in the history of man, only taking on new forms from time to time, how fortunate we are to have the Word of God that deals with sin, and that it does not change. The value of the changeless Bible is also evident in that its message gives purpose and meaning to life. And what is the meaning of life? Many obviously have never learned because they are uninformed about life as revealed by the giver of life. Many cannot successfully cope with life because they never understood where they came from. They don't understand why they are here. They don't know what they're supposed to be doing while they're here. They don't know where they're going. The Bible instructs us regarding all of this with clarity and confidence. People are seen and heard to turn to all sorts of weird and distorted and self-destructive behavior, seeking to insert some kind of purpose for their existence. They champion all kinds of causes. They pursue all kinds of lifestyles, looking and searching and using everything from drugs to degeneracy and crime and suicide to add something to their life. The meaningless of life stems from the failure to understand the nature of man and his worth. So many have swallowed the false atheistic philosophies from the minds of men, subscribing only to the materialistic explanations for all things, contending that man is only an evolved animal that has come into being by chance and accident. Those of this persuasion who seem to have some concern for the human family have adopted a social gospel approach, failing to recognize the spiritual side of man. But, my dear listener, man is spirit as well as flesh. There is an inward as well as an outward man. Genesis 1:27 teaches that we're created in the image of God, and God is a spirit, John 4:24. We have a mind. We have the power to reason and understand and to decide. We have a goal and purpose in life, and our noble mission is to glorify the Creator. We have the assurance of victory at the end of this life if we serve our Creator. We are not like the beast of the field. We cannot and we do not live by bread alone, Matthew 4:4. We cannot simply eat and drink and be merry and then close our eyes in the sleep of death and consider that to be the sum of our existence. If this life and the material side of it is all there is to our existence, then we are of all men most miserable. Then there is no reason for life at all. It is all a farce, a cruel hoax perpetrated on man. The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments, Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14. Dear friend, there is an oughtness that we must appreciate and to which we must conform. The message of the Bible gives purpose for living and hope for the dying. This is the resurrection chapter in 1 Corinthians 15 that assures us that physical death is not the end, but it is the entrance into an eternity. It is one of the passages of hope and purpose that does not and will not change. Thanks be to God for this changeless word. And there is a solid biblical emphasis on the dignity of human life and the emphasis on the concern for every individual. Even though there be billions of people on earth, there is no such thing as an unimportant person. God is not only aware and concerned for the masses, but for each one that makes up the masses. This changeless Bible reveals to us the mind of God and His interest in each one. In Matthew 6, verse 26, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" Psalm 119 is a classic passage on the consideration by the Lord of heaven for each person. And again in Matthew chapter 10, "Are there not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." Dear listener, the very invitation of the Lord to people to enjoy the blessings He offers stresses the individual. The invitation is to whosoever will. When Peter gave instructions how to be forgiven of sin, he gave the command to every one of you. The individual is responsible. The individual can be blessed. How glad it can be that way, and that this truth is revealed in Scripture that does not change with the fleeting changes of this world. But we should also be sobered by the reality that the individual concern that God has for us all calls for individual responsibility toward God, and that each one shall stand before God in judgment, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. We all shall be judged. The unchangeable revelation of individual worth is both comforting and sobering. But we should also be impressed with the extent of personal duty and privilege that is found in this changeless Bible. In a world of change, let us not confuse the changing with the changeless. May we lay hold on that which serves as an anchor to the soul. Let us follow that stable standard and guide in life that is sure and steadfast. let us eventually let it take us into heaven. In 1 Peter chapter 1, 24 and 25, urging us to follow a certain and unwavering path, the Bible says, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Thank God for a changeless Bible. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.